cool. We're on vacation, having lots of fun. B-A-C-A-T-I-O-N, in the summer sun.
Yeah, and there's another word. It's M-O-N-E-Y. So how do you take a vacation if you don't have some of that stuff? Hello, friends. Welcome to In the Market. I'm your host, Janet Parshall. And I'm so glad you're with us because we're going to help you take that dollar. If you're driving, don't do it. Just think this through. Okay, use your imagination. But we're going to take that dollar in your wallet. We're going to stretch it. I don't do so good by myself, but when I call my friends, the economides, we can really stretch those dollars because they are happily, proudly America's cheapest family. And we're going to take calls about your household budget, but we're going to start with what old Connie Stevens was singing about, your V-A-C-A-T-I-O-N. Last time I checked, it was a bad economy. That's why I'm glad the economides are with us. By the way, Stephen and Ed, I've had more people who said, is that their real name?
Hi, Janet.
It's good to have you here. How John Bunyan-esque. It couldn't be better as you're talking about our personal economy. So I'm glad you're with us again.
We're glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good. And you know what? Everybody loves to take a vacation. And we're just excited to share some of the things we've done that have been super fun and super frugal.
I'm so glad. And okay, friends, this is Practical Conversation every time my friends come. So I want you to remember that. By the way, they've got a website. You can click on through our website. We've posted both of the books that they've written. One is called America's Cheapest Family Gets You Right on the Money. And the other is Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half with America's Cheapest Family. Both books great, particularly the grocery bill one. Mine is dog-eared and food-stained. I do take it into the grocery store, so it's marvelous. I want to do just, before we dive into vacations here, no pun intended, I want to talk a little bit about the economy. Can I just say how refreshing it is that you two want to come and give us advice on how we can really look well to the ways of our household? Because we woke up this morning and the news was not all that good. In fact, we've woken up a lot of mornings and the news is not so good about the economy. And odds are it probably won't be good news for a long time. So how refreshingly optimistic to have the two of you talk about positive ways to press forward with our money. Thanks for that.
We think there is always a way to celebrate family, to have some fun, to live life in a rich way, not with money. But there's always ways to do it. You just have to think outside the box.
Yes.
And we're ready to do that today.
Good. I'm so glad. By the way, saw a sticker on the back of a car the other day, thought of you. It was the words, no debt. And a circle and a line through it. I thought, wow, why do I think there's a lot of people out there who would love that? But truth be told, and again, just a little bit more by way of backdrop before we go into some of your practical suggestions for vacations. A lot of people might be saying, wow, vacation's not even on my radar screen. I'm trying to make it from paycheck to paycheck.
Yep.
Vacation is discretionary spending. That's the first thing that goes out the window at our house.
Well, you know, the danger with that kind of thinking is it's kind of like saying, I'm going to hold my breath until things get better. And it simply can't be done. So what happens is when you put an unrealistic expectation, we're not taking any vacation, we don't have any money, it's like holding your breath. And then you get so fed up with your life, your things get stressful, you get frustrated, and so then you just run out, and we see this happen all the time. People just go out and they charge it, they blow it, and they take a cruise. Instead, what we want to do is say, look, take a breath. We're going to show you some ways that you can take, even if it's a modest vacation, but still make it fun without spending what you don't have. We're going to find out what you do have and make that something that is a blessing to your family and brings rest and relaxation, which is the purpose of a vacation.
And we even have one idea, Janet, that is absolutely free. And the reason we're going to share that is because there are some people that really can't even come up with $100 right now for a vacation. And we're going to talk about how you can do one for absolutely zero money because we think spending time together as a family and having fun is so important, A, for building relationships within your family, B, for getting the rest and relaxation that all of us need from time to time. And C, what is C?
I don't know, but do it for cheap. That's how you spell cheap.
Well, I was thinking of see. I want to see what the scriptures have to say. You two were talking about vacations. You know, scripture says a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. I like the fact that Jesus would get away. I like the fact that God rested on the seventh day. So somewhere in God's economy is this idea of, Steve, I'm going to use your words, taking a breath. So when we come back, let's get some practical ideas on really stretching that dollar when it comes to a family vacation. But then because they're America's cheapest family, you can talk about your finances with them as well. 1-877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675. More after this.
We're going to have a ball.
A protective circle doesn't work if the problem is on the inside. I'm John Stone Street, and this is The Point. Some evangelical Catholic and mainline Protestant leaders issued a statement last week called a circle of protection. These leaders want to ensure that federal programs that target the poor and the most vulnerable, what Jesus called, quote, the least of these, are protected because they are voiceless without powerful lobbies. Jesus has called us to stand up for the powerless and the voiceless, but standing up for unsuccessful programs is not the way to do it. As my friend Jennifer Marshall points out, current government programs tend to address poverty on a purely material basis, rather than addressing core issues of relational and moral brokenness. By protecting failing programs, we are not doing our best for the least of these. And besides, aren't the most vulnerable in our society the unborn? Let's defund Planned Parenthood. Let's remove President Obama's funding of research that destroys human embryos. The circle of protection left them out. I'm John Stone Street.
Nothing speaks to others more loudly than generosity from a leader. Hi, I'm John Maxwell, and here's John Hall, president of Equip, with today's leadership moment.
The lower an individual's ability to lead, the lower their potential effectiveness will be. Conversely, the higher the leadership ability, the greater their effectiveness will be. Your leadership ability, for better or worse, always determines your effectiveness and the potential impact of your organization. Now, to reach the highest levels of effectiveness, influence, and impact, you have to raise the lid of your leadership ability. Let me encourage you to take a quick look at the life of King Saul today. If there ever was a man who had a lid on his life and tried to put a lid on others, it was Saul. Saul's own self-inflicted problems cost him so much, and it kept him from reaching his potential. Any lessons you could learn from King Saul today? I'm John Hull. Visit leadershipmoment.org. Click onto that green Grow Yourself as a Leader box, and there you're going to find a self-study leadership training course for you, your business, or your church.
Fun and laughter on a summer holiday. No more worries for me or you.
Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? But what if, given the current economic state of our nation and your pocketbook, you can't do it? Well, I'm glad that we have Stephen and Ed Economides with us. They are America's cheapest family, and our conversation starts today talking about family vacation. So I want to go to the funding issue first, if I can. Anyone who listens to this program with any regularity know that you two have lived debt-free for a long time. That includes a mortgage, that includes cars, that includes the way your kids are raised, the way you grocery shop. Do you put money aside in envelopes for a vacation as well? In other words, how much pre-planning do you have to do with the economy of this house to make sure there's a vacation there?
That's a great question. And really, our vacation is like it is for most every other person out there. We vacate depending on how much money we can gather up. So it's actually not a budgeted category
now,
for us.
It used to be. Mm-hmm. When I had a regular paying job as an account exec with a design studio ad agency, we put aside $200 every month for a vacation. And that was like clockwork. And then at the end of the year, you know, we'd have $2,400, and we could decide to take two vacations for $1,200 or one vacation for $2,400. When we started our own business and started writing, of course, our income just changed. And so now what we do to fund our vacations is we basically hold an annual or every 2 year garage sale. And we decide that we're going to let the Lord provide through liquidating the assets that we have. And whatever we end up getting is what we use for our vacation.
And Janet, the other thing we do also is throughout the year, as we're trying to be mindful of stewarding our possessions, as we clean things out, First we check, you know, Craigslist, eBay, see if there's a market for them there. If the market is flooded there, they go into the garage sale pile. But if they can be sold on Craigslist or eBay, we sell items there, and all year long we collect the money, and that's what we put in our vacation fun money account.
Wow. So quite literally a cookie jar. So in other words, these are funds specific that comes out of something you already have, which is really nice on a couple of levels, it seems to me. Number one, you don't get so many material goods, you don't know what to do with them anymore. And you're really taking material goods, turning them around and turning in them into the revenue so that you can have a family vacation. That sounds like a really clever way to turn it around.
Yep.
You know, and it's not that hard. We've got some articles on our website that tell people how we do our garage sales, because we've learned over the years. And when we have garage sales, they're huge.
Yeah.
We bring other families in. We make it a fun event, too. And people just love coming, you know.
Yeah.
We ring bells when they buy over $20 worth of stuff, and we give things away. I mean, it's a goofy time, but, you know, we make it fun.
We've had our daughter tap dancing at the garage sales. We've had our son playing trumpet at the garage sales. We have a bake sale, so Nana and the girls get together a couple of days before, and they bake up muffins for breakfast with the coffee and brownies and Rice Krispie treats for lunch with the hot dogs that we grill.
But the whole philosophy is let's have fun with what we have. Let's not,
yes.
You know, and let's put that limit on it. And it forces us in many ways to be creative. So this summer, we already took our vacation. We went to San Diego with Annette's parents because they have a timeshare there. And we provided the food, they provided the timeshare, and we did some fun stuff. You know, so it we'll tell you some of the things we did, but we took a tour. One that just stood out was a tour of an avocado packing plant. Now, that is crazy, but it was educational, it was fun, it was delicious. I mean, it was the guy that gave us the tour was phenomenal.
And I just want you to know this for the record, Janet. I knew that this was going to be fabulous, but I had to grab everybody kicking and screaming to go to this place. And once we got there, at the end, everyone was like, that was so cool.
Yeah, and I have to say, in all honesty here, being transparent one with another, not sure that an avocado plant would have been at the top of my list. So I probably would have been in that category where you had to convince. So my question, Annette, to you is, how did you know that was going to be neat?
I just did, because when I talked to the guy, he explained to me that they used to do tours for schools all the time, and with all the liability issues, they had to take that away. And so, and he just seemed so personable
yep.
on the phone. And I'm like, you know, there's going to be a small family group, no little kids, you know, can you do this for us? And the guy that gave us the tour had done it for like 20 to 30 years, and he made it so interesting.
But the truth is, sometimes you're going to hit things that aren't all that great. But that'll happen whether you're paying $20 or not.
That's exactly right.
You know, we
yes.
took a tour of the National Archives, and the first tour guide we got in Washington, D.C. was more interested in describing things that we really didn't care to hear talked about with our
Basically,
kids.
Basically, he wanted to talk about the naked art on the ceilings, and I was like, okay, that's it. The tour's over.
When there's just a few other items of interest at the National Archives, including
yeah, exactly.
the Constitution of the United States.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. Wow. All right. So I love this idea. It's recycled money, which means immediately, and I'm going to state the obvious here, but I think as we're learning how to look well to the ways of our household, going right back to that phrase right out of Proverbs 31, that if you make $800, $1,200 at the garage sale, pinpoint specificity for a vacation, that's it. You cannot go beyond the $800 or $1,200 you make. Otherwise, you defeat the whole purpose of trying to live debt-free, correct?
Correct.
That's right. And you can still have fun, Janet. There's so many ways to do it. You know, and we did one thing that we had to pay for on this vacation. We went and took a tour of the USS Midway. That was the most awesome thing.
It was finished just as World War II was ending. A gigantic aircraft carrier harbored in San Diego.
Of course, and we did get discount tickets, though.
We did. We used coupons.
It's all
we
research.
We found coupons.
But we got to meet some men who actually flew off of the Midway and talked to them. It was an awesome time
wow.
for our kids, for us, for Annette's dad, who designed part of the cockpit on one of the planes that was on the
on the deck.
It was incredible.
Wow. So it really had meaning, didn't it? It wasn't just seeing something new and different. There was meaning there.
Yes.
Right. Again, I'm going to pull out some of the obvious that we're saying here because I think they're worth noting. As we're planning, whether it's $800, $1,200, $2,000, whatever you got when you recycled vis-a-vis the garage sale and the bake sale.
Correct.
We should be thinking about vacations that might have deeper significance, and looking in unusual places might be somewhere to do that as well.
That's
Am I right?
That's a great lead-in. Let's say you didn't make much money. Let's say maybe you have $100 or $200. We did this when our kids were really little, and we learned from a vacation we took when our son, our newborn son, was with us. We went to California, drove for 8 hours in the car, and he was in a car seat, and he was so uncomfortable and screaming, and we were uncomfortable. We said, you know what? Little kids in car seats don't ride well for 8 hours. So we decided one year when our kids were little, we'd do what we call a staycation. We stayed home. I didn't answer emails. We didn't take phone calls from work. We didn't tell anybody where we were. And we did all the touristy things in Phoenix that tourists do. And we had so much fun.
We did. And basically, when the kids were real little, it was only just really one activity a day, one field trip a day in the morning. And when they were real little, of course, we came home and they had naps. And then we'd do something fun at night, like have a home movie theater and pop popcorn and
roast marshmallows in the fireplace during the summer.
I mean, one winter they even convinced us to do a home vacation where we took a weekend and we cleared the family room of furniture and we laid out sleeping bags in the family room and we roasted hot dogs in the fireplace and we watched movies and played games.
And you know, we contacted the Visitors and Convention Bureau and we got a list of all the sites in Phoenix and we found one that was a gem. It's called the Mystery Castle on South Mountain. It was built by a guy in the 30s or 40s who was dying of tuberculosis. He thought he was going to die, left his family, and he lived for years and years, built this thing out of an old boxcar, and just kept adding to it and adding to it. And his daughter, who's now in her 70s or 80s, gave us the tour.
It was incredible.
Right. So there, and, you know, the sad thing is I grew up in New York, and I never even toured the Statue of Liberty until I moved to Arizona and went back to New York to visit.
So how many wonderful sites are there right in your own backyard?
Backyard,
that you haven't seen?
That's a great idea. You know, I have to tell you also, that happens to those of us in the Washington, D.C. area.
Oh,
you can see buses coming in for spring break and in the summer, and then you stop and say, hey, if I don't say, wait a minute, we are purposely, with intentionality, going to plan to visit these places, and they just happen to be in our backyard, we're going to miss them completely.
You said
something before.
So rich there.
Yes, we did
a week's vacation in D.C. back in 2005, and I said to Steve, oh, my gosh, you can't even do it in a week. You can't. You'd have to live here for like 6 months.
We wrote about that vacation in our first book, America's Cheapest Family Gets You Right on the Money.
Yes.
We talk about that in the vacation chapter along with lots of other ideas.
Right.
And even a place you can stay in Hawaii really inexpensively.
Yep.
Wow. All right. I just want to jump in again, pull out another basic that we're getting from you because there's some very helpful ideas here. Don't forget to look in your own backyard. You said you went to the convention center. So if somebody doesn't live in Phoenix or Washington, D.C. or even New York, if they happen to live in Des Moines, Iowa, can the same principle apply where they start looking in their backyard first for a staycation?
Yes, because like I said, we contacted the Visitors Bureau and Convention Center. But if you live in a smaller city, there's going to be a Chamber of Commerce. And so your Chamber of Commerce should have a list of businesses. There's always factories. Now you in every city. Now you may have to drive a little bit. If you live in a tiny city, you may have to drive an hour or two to a bigger city. But every major city in New York in America is going to have like a bakery to tour. They're going to have a dairy where the milk is processed to tour. So factory tours are usually very inexpensive, and they're great places to go and see something.
And then there's parks, and there's symphonies, and there's. Oh, who knows what?
I mean,
you have to expand your thinking. But I would do that. I would also contact AAA if you're a AAA member because they have the tour books.
Right.
And just use those resources, and you'll find things. You know, you'll find phenomenal things that you just didn't even know existed, like the Mystery Castle.
Right. Can we go back to lodging for a minute, Janet?
Can I do this, Annette? Can we come back to lodging as soon as we come back from a break? Because I want to give you all the time in the world you need to discuss this. We are visiting with America's cheapest family. We're talking about vacations. It is that time of year, and by the time this hour is over, you're going to have some real practical help on looking well to the ways of your household in this area. But also, we'll talk about some of your finances as well. So stay with us as Steve and Annette, Economy This, are our guests for the entire hour.
Going on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true for me and you.
I'm Greg Yoder with Mission Network News. Japan's March tsunami has left hundreds of orphans behind with little hope. Pioneer's missionary to Japan, Tony Haug, says at least 1,200 kids have lost one parent and 200 have lost both. Most of these kids will end up with relatives or in orphanages, since Japan frowns on adoption. In the meantime, the kids are told,
the word in Japanese is gaman. Just take it, receive it, and live with it. And it's a passive way of dealing with tragedies.
It's a hopeless mindset, but the Haugs are planning to bring hope to kids and their families when they start a preschool ministry. Pray for their efforts. Next, with summer underway, Slavic Gospel Association has started their summer camp season. They have an exciting opportunity to minister to kids in 20 Russian states and several neighboring countries. SGA's Joel Griffith says the typical camp activities also provide unique opportunities to reach the community.
Very often we see that kids who are reached with the gospel at summer camp often end up going back to their families and being the best evangelists to reach the rest of their families.
Funding is needed to help send kids to camp. Pray many respond. And finally, 140 leaders from six continents are in Boston today for a five-day summit focusing on the future of the Lausanne Movement strategic plan. With the Cape Town commitment now launched in nearly 20 languages, Lausanne's gearing up for the future. Lausanne's executive director, Doug Birdsall, says their goal in Boston is to turn 10 days of Congress discussions into a roadmap for Lausanne's next 10 years. It could have a profound impact on world evangelization. Mission Network News is a listener-supported news service of Cornerstone University of Grand Rapids, Michigan. I know you're concerned about reaching Muslims for Christ. Well, to help you, MNN's making available the 30 Days of Prayer for the Muslim World, a prayer guide to help you learn and pray for Muslims during the month of Ramadan, the first step in evangelism. Call 1-800-995-4828 or click on the link at missionnetworknews.org. I'm Greg Yoder.
If you could only ask one thing of God, what would it be? This is David Arthur with Precepts from God's Word. Listen to David in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I've asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. The one thing he sought was to be in God's house, beholding and meditating on His truths and in His ways. Wow, what a relationship to know that you could be in His presence one-on-one in an intimate relationship, being able to focus on who He is. That would be something worth seeking for. That would be something worth digging into God's Word to learn more about how you can know Him for yourself. Discover truth for yourself at precept.org.
Store but forgot our list.
I hope the important stuff won't be missed.
So I'll tell you and then you tell me,
and we'll get all the food for family.
Which works out well because the Economy This wrote a book called Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. You can learn more by going to InTheMarketWithJanetParshall.org. InTheMarketWithJanetParshall.org. You can learn more about the Economy This. Click on through to their website, chock full of all kinds of great ideas. And also you'll see their first book, America's Cheapest Family, gets you right on the money. We're starting our conversation this hour talking about vacations. And Annette, I wanted to give you plenty of time to talk about lodging because it seems to me that vacation expenses can get broken down in one of a few categories. First is transportation. Second, right up there, is lodging. So how can we do this in an inexpensive way?
Okay. Yes, that's a great question.
This is going to be kind of crazy. Now, we're kind of stepping outside the box on some of these ideas, so hopefully it doesn't break the paradigm too much?
Well, the first one Steve mentioned already was private colleges. A lot of them during the summer will rent out their dorm rooms. So check, you know, in the state where you want to go for private colleges and check those out and see if you can find some leads on that.
Now, I'll give you some examples. Years ago, we stayed at Point Loma Nazarene College right on the beach in San Diego. And we were doing this with our young adults. No, it was our young marriage class. And we stayed there for $5 a night.
Now, that was a long time ago.
It changed a little, but I'll give you one that I know for sure is still happening, and that's American University in Washington, D.C. will rent out their dorm rooms for $40 a night.
Mm. Right.
So, I mean,
and
check around.
Where can you get a hotel room for $40
exactly.
a night, right?
Washington, D.C. is the second most expensive city in the U.S. to stay in. Honolulu, Hawaii is the first.
Right.
Now, if you go to Honolulu and you look up the see, we have this on a fact sheet on our website. And actually, it's in our book, too. But there's a Seventh-day Adventist Academy that during the summer rents out their rooms. It used to be $40 a night. Now it's $55 a night.
In Hawaii.
In Hawaii. So you've got to check, but think outside the box. There's a list on a fact sheet we have on our website for inexpensive vacations where you can click through to find out a list of all the universities and colleges in the U.S., and you can start calling them. And that's what I did to find American University in D.C.
And one of the most obvious ones is camping. But camping is not for everybody, but it is very, very inexpensive. You can bring the whole family. A lot of campgrounds do have flush toilets. They'll even have pay showers. Sometimes you can bring your animals. So you need to check out those camping options. KOA campsites are great, and they have what they called KOA camping cabins. Mm-hmm. You know, you still bring your sleeping bags, but at least you're not in a tent. You don't have to pitch a tent. Mm-hmm. You've got a cabin for the night, and they cost a little bit more, but they're not going to cost as much as a hotel room.
Now, if you're a little more flexible on when you go on vacation, if you can do it not during the summer, you can rent cabins and facilities at YMCA camps and Boy Scout camps. You have to do your research, but when their high season, let's call it, is the summertime. But during the fall and the spring, when they don't have campers up there, a lot of them will rent out cabins. And you can get them, one camp in Arizona does it for $50 a weekend for a cabin that will sleep, I think it's 22 people.
Now here's a more radical idea that we haven't tried, and I really do want to try this, and that would be switching houses. We have good friends that live in Minnesota, but their family, their extended family, all lives here. And I thought, what a great way for us to see Minnesota is for us to say to them, hey, you guys come stay in our house for the week, feed our dogs, and we'll go stay in your house for
and
the
we'll
week.
We'll feed your chickens.
And we can go, and we can see Minnesota, and you can come visit with all your family here in Arizona.
Steve, I think I need to tell you at this point, however, that if you go through with this in Minnesota, you don't take the chickens for a walk. There is a difference here between the dogs and the chickens. I just thought I'd tell you that so you don't get the two confused. Let me take a break. We're going to come right back. 1-877-LIVE-675. We're going to take some of your questions when we return. 1-877-548-3675. Are you taking notes? Literally, if not figuratively, some really great ideas here. Who would have thought a private college or a campground in the off-season? Great deals to be had as we look well to the ways of our household. We'll be back.
Extra, extra creamy peanut butter. Yams, 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 and zinc.
With something to think about from God's Word, here's Mike Kellogg with Today in the Word devotional.
Horatio Alger's tales of rags to riches through pluck and effort in the late 19th century embodied how many saw America. Alger performed countless charitable acts, but guilt over an accusation of sexual molestation lingered with him. Some viewed his charitable acts as a response to this transgression. He once wrote a poem to a monk struggling with sin, and the final stanza reads, "Thy guilty stain shall be washed white again by noble service done thy fellow men." For Alger, even redemption was in reach of those willing to strive for it. This tragic attitude can infect any of us. We should view it as tragic because it creates an impossible burden, one that God never intended that you bear. Yesterday we saw that repentance may involve something outside our expectations, and today we see how God means for us to be reconciled to Him. Like yesterday, 2 Corinthians 5 opens with sobering words. Paul seems to create an impossible burden in verse 10, stating that all of us must give and receive our due for what we've done, whether good or bad. Death and judgment await. But the centrality of the gospel message liberates Paul from fear. We've already died for our sin because Christ died for us. Today in the Word we read 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Today in the Word devotional is a presentation of Moody Radio in Chicago.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The Supreme Court is siding with Walmart, and in doing so, the justices have blocked what would have been the largest sex discrimination lawsuit in U.S. history, involving as many as 1.6 million female workers. The justices agreed that the suit can't proceed as a class action in its current form. It's a ruling that will make it harder to pursue large-scale bias claims against the nation's other huge companies. The resignation of scandalized Congressman Anthony Weiner will become official at midnight tomorrow. Weiner officially notified Speaker John Boehner and New York State officials today. The resignation letter will be read on the House floor tomorrow. Stocks are closing broadly higher following signs that the European financial crisis may be contained. The Dow is up by 76 points to 12,080. Oil prices up 30 cents to close at $93.31 a barrel. More details at srnnews.com.
Fun and laughter on a summer holiday. No more worries for me or you for a week or two. We're going where the sun shines brightly. We're going where the sea is blue. We've seen it in the movies. Now let's see if it's true.
Do you know who that singer is? If you said Cliff Richard, good for you. He got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. So how nice to be able to hear that great bit of music. 1-877-LIVE-675. We're only halfway through this conversation. Great conversation as we talk about stretching our family dollar. Can't think of a better couple to talk about that with than the economy. They, Steve and Annette, they are America's cheapest family. They got a great website filled with all kinds of hints and helps. And if you go to ours, you can click on through to theirs. And on the right-hand side, as always, you'll see their two books that they've authored. Now, I know there's still more, and I'm going to go mining for more great information as we're digging with the economy, they say, about vacations, but I want to take some calls if I can. And Tito, you've been oh so patient. I appreciate that so much. Your question for the economy, they say, please.
Hello?
Hi. Go ahead, Tito.
Hi. Well, my wife and I are going to take a trip to the Grand Canyon, and we just want to know if there's any tips on that kind of a trip.
Well, the only thing I can tell you about is have a Supai Canyon, and that's an offshoot canyon. It means land of the blue-green waters, and I've been down there three times. It's definitely bring good shoes. But those reservations for staying at places like that need to be made several months in advance, especially for camping. But I guess I would just call up to the different places and do some checking. I can't help you much with other money-saving ones. That's something you're going to have to research, though.
Right. If you stay along the top, I mean, if you're just going to look along the top, you know, if you don't stay right at the canyon, but say you stay in Williams, mm-hmm. which is maybe an hour away, you're going to find more reasonable lodging.
But there are national forest campgrounds in the area, mm-hmm. and there are state campgrounds, and those are usually pretty inexpensive. But remember that this is a hot time of year in Phoenix, and so a lot of people are heading up to those cool country areas, so you do want to start doing your research now and make reservations as early as possible.
Right, and it is the busiest time of year at the canyon, so you're just
going to love it. It is,
yeah.
It is a wonderful place to go.
It's beautiful.
Tito, thank you. You couldn't be talking to better people than the economy this with their ties to Arizona. But I'm hearing you say over and over and over again, and this is a takeaway for all of us, do your homework, do a little planning. If you want to do this spontaneously, this is not doing a staycation at home, you're going to cut yourself short when you're trying to get some of the best deals you can, whether it's housing at a camp or at a private college, et cetera, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
The old mantra of the more you plan, the more you save stands true here. You know, God planned things out way in advance. Mm-hmm. So I think he's given us that ability. It just means that it takes a little bit of time, but it's worth it. It's mm-hmm. such a good investment of your time to save that money.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Tito, thank you. I appreciate it. Let me go to Tara, who joins us from Indiana. Tara, thank you for being a part of our conversation with Stephen and Annette. Your question, please.
Oh, yes. I just had a couple questions regarding, like, finding these type of facilities for families with special needs kiddos who may need more, take more equipment or, you know, require places with air conditioning. How do you find that information out?
Oh, good question. You know, we had a son when he was very little that had severe asthma, so we used to have to bring a nebulizer machine with us everywhere we went. But
that's probably mild compared to what you're talking
right.
about. But we did, when we were first, we expanded our family by three kids in just a few months, and Annette was really, really tired. And so we took a vacation at a Christian camp. It's called Forest Home. And that was one of the most fabulous vacations because it was set up for families to go, and they did have cabins for special needs kids.
Right.
And several of these camps that are more family-oriented will have that kind of facility. For us, it was a package deal. It was relatively inexpensive, including meals, for a family of seven. So I think if you have those kind of needs, you're going to have to look at some type of family-type camp. Give that a try. At least that
I know,
was our experience.
I know Johnny and Friends does a week.
Oh, yes.
Week-long camps all over the country for families with special needs. And, of course, depending on how severe the special needs are, if they're very mild, then probably not a lot of accommodations need to change. But if the special needs are pretty severe, then you're not going to be able to take probably a camping vacation like everybody else would because you'd be worrying about the safety of that child.
Mm-hmm.
So you do need to do some research. I would check out johnnyandfriends.org for some good information on vacations for special needs. That's mm-hmm. where I would go
and
first.
I am so glad you said that, Tara. Honestly, I was just going to suggest exactly the same thing, and it's Johnny, J-O-N-I, and Friends. And I think that there might be some wonderful things there. Thank you, Tara, for being with us. 1-877-LIVE-675. Adam in Tennessee, your question for Stephen and Ed Economy Days, please.
Yes, Janet. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Love your show, but I have a question
Thank
for
you.
Your guest. When you travel abroad, how do you go about finding places to stay and save money on lodging?
Well, gosh, Adam, if you'd take us with us, we'd get that chance to travel abroad and see what that would be all about.
We have our passports. Okay, I've got some suggestions, though. Youth hostels, that's one way to do it. Again, it's going to be research. We had a daughter-in-law of ours who, now this is kind of strange, but there's a new phenomenon out there for single travelers and maybe couples called couch surfing. I don't know that I would do it personally, but it is going on, and there are some real good safety regulations in place to check out the places you're staying. But there are a lot of people doing that, and basically you stay on somebody's couch, and then they have the right to come back to your place and stay at your couch when they travel over here.
But it's not practical for families, so... You just, I don't need, I'm sorry, I wouldn't know where to start about with that. Janet, you have any ideas?
Well, I was going to say, because research is so important in what you're saying before, I always say, start with what you know. That's what they always tell writers, write about what you know. So you might want to say, listen, is there a church exchange program that's going on, or even a short-term missions trip that's going on that will get you to a far country? Exactly right.
That's awesome. And we have so many friends who've done that. They've gone on basically short-term mission trips, and they're seeing the world and serving the Lord. And that is an awesome way. So there's a great answer. And we had a son who did a missions trip to Spain, and he was trying to work it out where he would go get a Eurail pass and tour around the rest of Europe at the end of it. It didn't quite work out, but that's another way to get a bigger vacation out of a service trip.
Exactly. And my dear producer, Dan Royal, who is an MK, a missionary kid extraordinaire, says that there are mission organizations that sometimes have contacts they know who can help or ideas for places to stay. And mission organizations, he says, can often offer their city lodgings that their missionaries use. So, Adam,
awesome.
Where there's a will, there's a way. So there you go.
Way to go, Dan.
Awesome.
Thank you, Dan. See, being an MK pays off in oh so many ways. Thank you so much. All right. Let me go back again to this idea of discounted. Now, let me go back to the garage sale and the bake sale. You talked about Craigslist. You talked about eBay. I don't understand how all this stuff works. I'll plead my open ignorance here. But when you're vacationing and you're trying to do it less expensively, do you go to some of those websites if you don't care about the time or the place or the date? Don't even understand how all of those work. But is that a good way to save money?
We have a friend who uses Priceline and bids on hotels and does it regularly. We haven't done that. I've looked at it a few times. That's a great way to save. There are discount cruises out there. They're called relocation cruises, I think is the word they use. When they're moving a ship from one port to another, but it's not a full round trip, and you can get a cruise for about half price. So I would do some checking on that, discount vacations, discount cruises. But, yeah, there are tons of websites, and I would go after it that way. But the world is unbelievably connected right now with the Internet.
There's a couple other resources that are really handy for taking vacations, and one is called Entertainment Books. Mm-hmm. Steve already mentioned the AAA books, but Entertainment Books are awesome, and during the summer,
this is so good.
A lot of times they're half price because they're getting near the end of their fiscal year, which is October 31st, and so the company will put the books on at half price. And when you're traveling to a city where you've never been before, it's really hard to know what restaurants to go to.
Okay, no, let me back up. Entertainment books are 2-for-1 coupon books for restaurants, but they also have lodging and rental cars. So if you get one for a city you're going to, let's say you're going to Colorado Springs, you'll know about all the restaurants in the area. You'll get discounts on the sites to see, and the book will only cost you $5 or $10.
Excellent. Excellent. Let me take a break, and when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about food. And also, how about you're packing up the little ones? You know, the car seats for 8 hours. Not so nice. But there got to be some other hints out there for traveling with kids. We'll talk about that when we return.
Hi, I'm Crawford Loritz with The Legacy Moment. I personally think that one of the ingredients missing from the church today is a holy sense of desperation. Have you ever sat in a church service where you sang the songs, heard the prayers, and listened to the message, and yet you said to yourself, boy, something is missing here. There's ritual, but no life. We need to take a hint from the early New Testament church. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, Luke summarizes the incredible sense of God's work by making this statement. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. This church was characterized by three dominant spiritual dynamics, things that we need to hold on to. Number one, the verse says that they were growing, they were being built up. Secondly, they were worshiping. That's represented by the expression, the fear of the Lord. It wasn't just a ritual. They were caught up with God and His presence and the awe of Him. Thirdly, the phrase, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, tells us that they were yielded to the Holy Spirit. These things ought to typify our churches. We ought to be growing, and we ought to be worshiping, and we ought to be driven by and yielded to the Holy Spirit. Well, here's what I want you to remember today. It's really a reminder to all of us. The Church of Jesus Christ is not an institution or a club, and Christianity in this culture was never intended to be a business or an industry. The body of Christ is a living organism, and God wants us to be alive in order for us to produce life. Let's grow, worship, and respond to the Holy Spirit in holy desperation.
Join Crawford Loritz tomorrow for another Legacy Moment.
Why are the power poles falling in Antioch, a city of 100,000 that's a suburb of San Francisco and Oakland, California? 300 power poles have fallen since the first of the year. And Pacific Gas and Electric says they are falling because of the copper. The metal is now up to $4 a pound, compared with $1.25 2 years ago. And the utility says each pole taken down is stripped of about $500 in copper. And the police say they have no suspects in the heists that are adding up. Now, stealing copper is nothing new, but this rash of snatchings is adding up as major theft. I couldn't help but think that the copper is not what is so important. It's the power running through the copper that is important. Spiritually speaking, our lives need to be continually wired to the Lord. To Him be the power, forever and ever. I'm Charles Morris, HavenToday.org.
Stephen and Aunt Economidis are with us. They are America's cheapest family. And, you know, I just scratch my head sometimes when we get the privilege of visiting with Stephen and Aunt, because it's like, some of this is so obvious, but sometimes we just need a friend to point it out and tell us, don't we? All right, now, I want to go back to what we were saying before. Food, food, food. Transportation, lodging. Food is a biggie. I want to talk about that, and I also want to talk about what else we should know about traveling with children, because it seems to me that age appropriateness kind of determines, even if I really did well in my garage sale, I have a three-year-old that's not going to do really well on a long trip, so I kind of have to balance all of this, don't I?
That's yes, right. Absolutely. Let's start with food first, because that's a really fun one for me. I think I've gotten a lot under my belt in that area. We talked about entertainment books as being a wonderful tool for helping you know which restaurants to go to, but they also help in your scheduling. And what we do is, just like anything else, I plan a menu for the week when I know I'm going to be on vacation. So if it's like our Washington, D.C. trip, where it was a hotel trip, we made sure we stayed at a very reasonably priced hotel that had a continental breakfast. So breakfast was taken care of. Then we would head out for sightseeing, and we'd be gone all day. We'd do something in the morning and something in the afternoon. And so we'd use that entertainment book to provide our lunch meal. And then what we did is, when we first got into the city, we went to a thrift store and we bought a crock pot for $5. And then we bought some groceries at a grocery store. And so even though we eat really healthy all year long, I feel like if we eat a little bit of junk food type stuff on vacation, we're not going to die if it's 1 week out of the year. And so I'll throw things like SpaghettiOs in the crock pot, or canned stew or canned soups that are kind of meaty. I'll put them in the crock pot, and then we'll have fruits and vegetables and bread, French bread on the side, kind of a thing. And so those will go in the crock pot in the morning before we leave the hotel. We'll do our sightseeing. We'll come into the hotel around the dinner hour, and dinner will be waiting for us because the crock pot will have kept it warm all day.
So what we've done is we've limited our expenses that day to grocery store-bought food for dinner, a free breakfast, and we bought lunch out at a restaurant. And it really does minimize your costs, where you could be spending $150 or $200 a day on food. We're going to spend $40 or $50.
Yeah, wow, that is a great idea. Rose, I want to bring you in before we talk about traveling with kids. You're in Pennsylvania, and your comment or question, please.
Yeah, I have a suggestion. We have three children, and we take a vacation to the same place every year. My husband has a very odd work schedule, so my kids, for them, that's a tradition that we do. We get to know the area. We have food allergies, so we have to be careful, you know, where we eat. So we get to know the area. We get to know the places and where the deals are, and I just wanted to throw that out there as a suggestion, especially for families with young children.
Yeah, that is a great idea.
It is great, because when you go into a new area, not knowing where the deals are, you can, you know, fall subject to spending more money. So this is a wonderful thing, Rose. Thanks.
Right.
Yes, Rose, thank you. I very much appreciate that suggestion. And that takes us right back to traveling with kids. So give us some advice, because, you know, before you were talking about the National Archives, I keep thinking age appropriate, not quite sure that a preschooler is going to be able to comprehend the significance of what it is they're looking at. So what are some good ways, again, being cognizant of cost, where we can make this family friendly, again, depending on the age of our children?
Well, like we said earlier, when our kids were under five, we really didn't travel very far from home at all, because driving vacations meant that the kids were strapped into their car seats for too long, and plane vacations meant that you were hauling not only luggage but kids through the airport, and it just wasn't very fun. So we stayed home and had that stay vacation a lot when they were little. Once they get to be about five and older, then they can handle those trips. You just need to make sure that you're taking a break to let them run someplace at a rest stop with a Frisbee. And another thing that we did is when they were little, I literally spent an entire week packing for vacation. The first half of the week was spent just packing a backpack for each child, because you don't want to get into that syndrome where you say, "He's touching me, stop touching me," and all the other things that kids do if you're driving in a car. You want to have things for them to do to keep themselves busy.
Are we there yet?
Yeah. Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
What we would do is we'd pack books. Now, this was a while ago, books on tape. You know, now you could load up their iPod with new audio books and things for them to listen to. But we like to listen to things as a family, so not everybody's tuned into their own thing. So we'll bring books on CD, put them in the car, listen to them.
But when they're little, one of the things that saved our lives was buying sticker books. Mm-hmm. Because they literally can spend hours pulling off those stickers and finding the exact right place to put them on the pages. And it was a lifesaver. Another friend of mine is a missionary, and they have to travel and take a lot of flights. And she said when her child must have been between 5 and 7 years old. She was trying to keep him busy on the plane. She gave him a roll of masking tape, and that kept that child busy for hours. On
of course, the
plane. The
passengers couldn't get out of their seats, but they should have fun. Don't use duct tape.
Wow. All right. Those are all really great suggestions. Now, let me go back to something we said before, and we touched on this a bit because you were talking about Phoenix. I was talking about Washington, D.C. But again, make sure that we're really aware of local sites. And on your website, you've got this long list of local sites. So just about any place you're going, there really is something neat to see. For example, and forgive me if I give due deference to my great state, the Commonwealth of Virginia, but you talk about the Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia. Oh. Now, this is not exactly on the beaten path, and yet the history there is pretty important. And you said, in your words, that this was awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
It was breathtaking to stand there where Grant and Lee stood and to read the stories of how humanely they handled the surrender.
Yes.
It was true.
Generous, gracious.
Courage, graciousness. They loved each other.
Yep.
And it was well done.
Yep. And, you know, we've been to New York several times to do TV shows and stuff, and we've gotten to see several sites there in New York. And the first time we made our first trip and we stood in front of Ground Zero, I mean, I was just sobbing as I stood there on that piece of history. And then, you know, we on the lighter side, you know, our kids have read books. Balto, the sled dog, about this...
That saved Nome, Alaska.
Yeah, he saved Nome, Alaska from a flu epidemic. I don't even remember when. And there's a statue erected to his honor in Central Park, and we found it. And we have a picture of all the kids on top of Balto, which was really cool.
But just... I'll bet it was. And what a great thing to do as a family. Again, preparation, do your homework ahead of time. I remember one time when we took our children, we had to travel through several states, and each of the children were assigned a state, and they were told what our path would be, and they had to find something that we had to discover as a family in that state. They couldn't tell anybody, but before the trip, they individually turned in their idea, and so it was their site that they picked along the way, and then they, in essence, became the tour guide to say, now let me tell you, siblings, parents, exactly what happened here. And it made them take ownership. Plus, they got excited about the places they were going to visit. So it was something we did.
Oh, man, that's a great idea.
Thank you for that. Boy, these times just fly by. Thank you so much. And I do want to tell our friends that if they go to your website, it's always just filled with so much. So in the market with janetparshall.org, we do this for all our guests. You get a chance to read a little bit more about who the people are who've given us the gift of their time, and this is the gift of their time, and I'm most appreciative always. But you can click on through to their website and see some of the other advice they have for us to stretch that family dollar. And on our website, on the right-hand side, you're going to see the two books that the Economides have authored. One of them deals directly with cutting your grocery bills in half. That's their most recent. And the other is America's Cheapest Family Gets You Right on the Money. So here's what I hope you took away from our conversation. Don't be discouraged if you think you needed a little more planning and you don't think you can get that garage sale in place so you can get the revenue for the vacation this year. I'm liking the idea of the staycation. What a great idea. Move the furniture out of the family room, roast hot dogs in the fireplace, and get a bunch of movies. The point is, family time together can be a vacation in and of itself. My thanks to Steve and Annette for being with us and for being America's cheapest family. We'll see you next time.
For years, they've challenged you and encouraged you. The world's most renowned preachers and teachers have come to Moody Bible Institute. You've heard many on Moody Radio's Conference Echoes. Speakers like George Sweeting.
Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what no one else can do.
Warren Wiersbe.
It's not enough just to love the Bible. We should learn the Bible. And it's not enough to love and learn the Bible. We must live the Bible.
And Howard Hendricks.
Men, I am convinced the only option confronting the contemporary Christian man today is you either master the culture or the culture will master you.
Download these sermons so you can listen to them whenever you want. Go to moodyradio.org and click on the Purchase Audio tab. moodyradio.org.